I'm on. They brought me a stool up here. I tell you what, I'm blessed to be in this place today. I have loved your pastors for a long time and a bunch of other people in this congregation. I was privileged to, after Brother Gould got through with Cecil, I got to put a little cream on top. But he wasn't my favorite student. She's sitting over here beside of Mr. Johnson. A lot of people in this church have been a blessing to me. I'll tell you what, I know I'm at the right place today. The devil has tried to keep me away. I've been scheduled a couple of times, and one time my son next door thought they'd got exposed to COVID the day before I was supposed to be. It turns out they hadn't been, but it caused us to have to cancel out. And then I was scheduled for last week, and it would have been on my birthday. But I'm a week late after my birthday because then the devil decided to let COVID come around and visit my wife and I, but we got through it fine. And here we are today. I appreciate the church so much. Like Ms. Faye said, I walked in this building when there wasn't nothing but bare rafters to see and concrete on the floor, and walked around in here and help y'all see the dream coming. And I appreciate what the church has done. And I know you do. It's great what you're doing here on Sunday morning. But all these young people that have been through the school here and have gotten a good education that's founded on something other than junk. I've quoted this often, but some of you would know my friend that I hadn't seen in a long time. Pastor Rod of God Ministries. All right. I heard him say one time, he was talking about the school they had there at the church. He said, our students, when they test at the end of the year, they test in the top grades above all these people in the public schools. And they asked me, how do you do that? He said, well, what we teach them, we teach them good academic stuff and how to succeed in life, but what we teach is based on the Word of God, not a bunch of Sodom and Gomorrah junk, he said, Brother Larry Allen. So I'm just thankful for the church and for your pastor, Mrs. Brown. I want to let you see my lovely wife, Miss Wanda, sitting right there on the first pew. Just raise your hand. I know who you are. You want to preach a little bit? No, she said no. Some friends, Donnie and Gloria Tadlock, and Gloria was for the last few years of Ife Gisson University, she is the campus director, and I'm glad to have them with us today. And then a friend of mine back there that I called told him he needed to be here. He's famous. Mr. Richard Skateboard White. Now, if you ever knew him, you didn't know he had a name Richard. You thought he was just named Skateboard. And I think that name came from maybe his younger years. But anyway, I'm glad to see all you regular folks here. And I'll tell you what, I got Miss Stool up here, but I'm still doing good for my number of birthdays. And I want you to know all the worship was good and all the praying was good, but the senior choir, I want you to know they still got it going. We might have to help a couple up and down the steps a little bit, but they still got it going. I would like to mention, if you would like to hear some of my preaching sometime, I didn't tell the Mr. Sound Man Genius back there, but could you open up a website and put it up there on the screen if you think you could? It's just my name, jimhoward.org. jimhoward.org, and see if you can cause that to pop up on the screen. And while he's working on that, I'll tell you this. I got some books back there. These are the one book that I have written. The name of this book is If You Don't Get Offended, You'll Get Blessed. And if you read this book, it'll be a blessing to you. I think I've got about 30 copies of it back there, and I don't sell them. They're back there for you to take if you want one. But I will say that when I get those dispensed and I usually order about 40 to 50 of them at a time. There's a basket back there. If you would like to put a little something in there to help me take care of the next batch that I'm going to give away, you're free to do that, but don't feel obligated if you need this book. There shouldn't be anybody in this church that's too broke for this book. But at any rate, and so I think this one right here is for Miss Faye and the pastor. I don't think I gave you one. If I did, you can give that to somebody else. And they're all signed, by the way. So I would like to say, did you get that thing up there? Look at there. Now, that's my website. It's not hard. If you can remember my name, and you'll see on the, right now we've got selected up there where the little white thing's lit is audio messages. And kind of just scroll down through that a little bit, if you will. We got the Holy Spirit and the believer there at the top. If you can just scroll on down the page a little bit. And you get down here, you got all these good messages. And one I want you to see is Keep It Going. And a little bit more. And there's a bunch of them. And we get down here, right about there. You see there, that says teaching series on the book of Revelation. There's 32 messages there from the beginning to the end of the book of Revelation, and I think you will get something out of that if you just want to go listen to it. That's where you can get my stuff free, right there. Now flip on the video messages, and there you go. I'm glad we got some high-tech folks back there. And then we got some videos coming up here, and kind of scroll down through those too, because most of these are pretty current. And there will be, this message here will be on there today, probably before today is over. I got a young man that helps me take care of that. And so there we get on down here. I want you to get on down toward the bottom and let you see there we go. I'm getting younger back there. You notice that? And Spirit of Faith, part one, part two. You need to hear that. I taught those messages at Faith Covenant Church. So, at any rate, that's a little introduction. And when I pull up my scriptures, I'm going to show you. Yes, I'm good. Yes, good. Thank you. But I showed my wife and I showed Ms. Brown. When I get over here to the scriptures I'm going to use, it says right here, Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2 to start with. I said, when I saw that Deuteronomy, when the scriptures you pulled up there, I said, I am at the right place on the right day. So I was going to tell you this on my birthday last week, but now that I'm a week older than that, I can tell you anyway. How many know it's important what we say about ourselves? You folks has had a bunch of birthdays. I don't want to hear you talking old. So ever since I had my 80th birthday a while back, the Lord has given me something every year for me to confess that year. So I had this birthday last week, and here's what the Lord gave me. I'm 86 years old, but I'm still strong and bold. I still got sermons to be preached and testimonies to be told. I got books to write and devils to fight as I walk by faith and not by sight. God's word has proved faithful through all these years, and so I'm heading into my future with faith, hope, and without fears. His word is my guide. By the Spirit, I'm led. I'm walking into blessing, and my best days are ahead. Yeah. Hallelujah. Like that? All right. Now, and usually about the beginning of the year, the Lord gives me something for that year that we need to focus on a little bit. And I heard him say two things to me this year, and one of those things was shortly before the new year came in, I heard the Lord say to me, y'all don't think that's strange, do you? I heard the Lord say to me, 2023 is a year for the church and believers to be from fear set free. 2023 is a year for the church and the believers from fear to be set free. And then I was riding down the road over here somewhere close to here, and then he gave me another thing about 2023, and he said 2023 is a year for activity. It's a year to do, not just to be. a year to do, not just to be, activity. You know, it's easy to go to church and sit in the pew and say amen, shout a little bit, sing some good songs, and then tell them, I'm a Christian. You're telling them what you be. But what are you doing? You know, there's things the church needs to be about and doing. Now, if you would, brother, if you put that little chart up on the wall I gave you there, I'm going to give you a little simple theology about two systems of spiritual government. Over on the left-hand side, we got the kingdom of God, and down underneath it, we got some things that operate in the kingdom of God. And then on the other side, we got the principality of the devil. I used to say the kingdom of the devil, and I figured out he can't have a kingdom because he's not a king. And you know, the Bible tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So the battle is going on between these two things. And I've got me a note here that I write myself about certain parts of what I'm talking about, and I say quickly. The reason that is, I want to get to the real good stuff at the end. And I told my son that, and he said, that's just like when the preacher looks at his watch. What does that mean? It means absolutely nothing. All right. But so we see on God's side, first thing we find out, God is good. You know, all you have to do, if you look at God and you look at good, we just give him an extra O, and he's good. And on the other side, the devil is evil, and all we got to do, he's a thief, so we take something away from him, take away the first letter of his name, what does the rest of it spell? Man, that's easy to remember. That's simple theology. On God's side, we got the blessing, and on the devil's side, we got the curse. On God's side, we got abundant life, and on the devil's side, we got death and destruction. I know that camera on TV is looking at the back of my head, but it looks good too. Amen. And on God's side, we got salvation, and the devil's side, condemnation. And on God's side, we got righteousness, and on the other side, we got sinfulness. And then we got light and darkness. We got truth and lies. We got love and hate. We got faith, and we got fear. And you see, those are the two different teams up there. So I'm not going to talk about all of them, but I'll pick out one which is light and dark. Now, it's daytime, so we could turn out all the lights in here, and it would get darker, but it won't be plumb dark. You come in here tonight, and with no lights on, it's going to be dark in this place. And so you say, well, I know what I'm going to do. I need to be able to get rid of this dark. I'm going to get me a couple of tractor-trailer trucks, and we're going to back them up to the door, and we're going to start loading them up and hauling the dark out of here. Well, you know that's not going to work, don't you? But you know what? Somewhere back yonder, somewhere, there's some little switches on the wall. And all in the world you've got to do to defeat that dark is flip them light switches on, because dark cannot overcome light. Dark is not a thing. Dark is the absence of something. And right now, if we wanted it dark in here right now, you don't have no switch that says dark that you can just turn it on and it'd be dark. No, we got to get rid of the light to have the dark. The devil likes to operate in the dark. The answer to that is to keep the light turned on. And of course, we know we're talking about more than just in this room. But the same thing is true about everything on this list. Everything on the devil's side is the absence of something. He don't have anything. All he has is to try to take away what you have that's defeating him. Adam and Eve, he came to them right in the very beginning of the Bible. Man, there's four chapters in the Bible that describe perfection on this earth. Chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis, Adam and Eve are in the garden. Everything is provided for them. They had all these trees. They could eat off of any of them except just that one. They didn't have but one rule. Don't eat that one. Well, guess what? The devil came along and talked them into eating it. What he did was talk them out of, and they were living in there in the abundant life. So chapter 1 and 2, we got perfection on the earth. Everything's good. Everything's going like God means it to. Chapter 3, verse 1, the devil showed up. We go all the way to the other end of the Bible in chapter 21 and chapter 2. I'll go to chapter 20, right toward chapter 20 there. The devil gets wrapped up in a big old chain and a big old angel throws him in the pit. So the devil showed up in chapter 3 of Genesis, and that's when the world went bad. The devil got locked up right before the last two chapters in chapter 21 and 22. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down, and there's perfection on the earth once again because we got rid of the devil. But everything in between chapter 3 of Genesis and chapter 20 of Revelation, we have a battle going on between the church and the devil. And how many know you can't win the battle if you're not doing anything? You can't win the battle if you're not standing up. So we know we get rid of the dark by turning the light on. All right, then we got truth and lies. The devil can't tell. He never told the truth. Jesus said about him, he's a liar and the truth is not in him. He couldn't even tell the truth if he wanted to. He don't have none. But he'll try to talk you into believing his lie. Well, the answer, just like we turn the switch on for the lights and we get rid of the dark, we turn the truth on, we get rid of the lie. And the same thing is about faith and fear. I'm not going to go through all these, but let's talk about faith and fear a minute. Faith, you can't haul fear off because fear is the absence of faith. That's what fear is. Some people say we take fear and we take the darkness up there. People say, I'm afraid of the dark. No, you're not afraid of the dark. You're afraid of them boogers you think might be out there in the dark. But the answer to what's on the devil's side is for us just to turn on what's on God's side. Turn on the truth. Turn on faith, and fear has to leave. Faith and fear can't be in the same place at the same time. So when the devil comes to you with that, the doctor will give you a little something, a little diagnosis maybe, and the devil will come start talking to you about it. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're a liar and the father lies. The truth ain't in you. Devil likes to operate in the dark. You might need to get up in the middle of the night sometime, go into the bathroom. I see all these older men yet, say, I know what you're talking about. And you come back and get into bed and you wasn't even planning on thinking about anything. And all of a sudden that voice gets in your head. Well, you know what you got to do? Just turn the switch of faith on. Go back to your scripture you got for that. And then how does faith come, by the way? I love the way your pastor ministers. He's got a lot of Pastor Gould in him, I know, his ministry style. And he makes y'all answer the questions. He gives you a half a scripture and it requires you to give the rest. And that's a good pastor and that's a good teacher. So, how does faith come, by the way? Anybody know? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love a church. I love a church. But it says hearing by the Word of God. And if you go look that up in the Greek, that Word of God, the words are rhema Christos. And there's two words for word in the Bible primarily, the logos and rhema. If you will look up the word rhema in Mr. W.E. Vine's expository dictionary, you will find out that the main difference between logos and rhema is logos is the word heard, rhema is the word spoken. So when it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema and then the Christos on the end of it, a lot of newer translations say the word of Christ, which is really a better translation. That's the kind of faith that comes when you hear from God about what you're dealing with right now. It's not just about, you know, Jesus said them guys was in the boat going across and the storm came up and they got afraid and all that stuff. And he said to them, how is it you have no faith? He done said, we're going to the other side. And they get out there and they see a little storm and he's asleep. He ain't worried. and they wake him up and try to get all stirred up and he says, how is it you have no faith? Now, these were his apostles. They had faith that he was the Christ. They had faith that God, there was a God. They had faith in a lot of stuff. They just didn't have no faith we're going to get to the other side of this lake in this storm. So that Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, is primarily talking about that word you hear for that problem you're dealing with. Now, I've been listening to some good preaching from this church here lately. My brother right down here, I think I heard you say the other day, talking about a bicycle. Weren't you talking about a bicycle? Somebody was. And you said that bicycle had been sitting around out there, and then one day the Lord said to you, the Lord said to me, put that bicycle in the back of your car. You remember that now? All right. Well, you know what? As soon as you heard that, you might not have had faith for everything in the world, but you had faith for putting a bicycle in the back of your car because you knew you heard from God. Amen. And we need to find out about it. A lot of times we just try to come up with our answer about everything. Well, we can recite a scripture, but what is God saying to me about this problem right here? You know, the Bible tells me to give, and it tells me to bring my tithes and offerings into the church. So I know what I'm supposed to do about that. But then sometimes God's got other places for us to give other than the church. And that's where that faith comes for that giving. And it's not always what you would think is a religious thing. It might be some individual, and the Lord says, give them some money. I have it happen quite frequently. You might be sitting in a restaurant, and you've got your $2 tip ready. And the Lord says, that little old young lady there waiting on you, she's got a couple of kids at home. She's a believer. She's been paying her tithes, and she's believing God that she has given, and God's going to call men or ladies to give into her bosom. Give her $20 today. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. No. When we get our ears trained to know that we're hearing from God, we just operate in faith. The world might think it's, you left a $20 tip? Yes, ma'am, I did. And you know something? Blessings are coming. My wife and I were at the beach last week, and we went down there to rest up over the, we were already over the COVID really by about Friday, and we decided to go down there and get away and just have a place to rest and get our energy back. And we went to a restaurant that we go frequently for breakfast. And we know the help. We've been in there before. We treat them good. We're generous. If half the help didn't show up that day and the others are struggling, we got compassion on them and we're patient and we don't fuss at them. And so we ate in there four times, and then we ate over at Calabash one time. Out of all them meals, we paid for two of them. All the rest of them, somebody bought our food. And in some cases, we didn't even know who it was. We got ready to go, and they said, somebody done paid your bill. Given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give it to your bosom. Praise God. So, we talk about dark, the light getting rid of dark. You don't need to put this scripture up. I'm just going to mention it. But in John's Gospel, chapter 1, y'all could recite this anyway. It says, in the beginning was the Word. I love this church. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And it says, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not overcome it, one translation says. And that's, the King James says, the light could not comprehend it. We think about comprehend meaning the dark couldn't understand it. But no, that comprehend is the same word we use now, like apprehend or arrested or take hold of it. That meant the darkness, light came into the world when Jesus came, and the dark could not do anything about it. So don't let the dark devil's darkness even make an attempt to put your light out. You can just sing him a little song, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Now, I hope you've been paying attention to the news. I like the way the lights are in here because of that thing's lit up back there. And I can't see the clock. I got no idea what time it is. It's in the dark. I do have a watch. But right now, we've been praying for it. Right now, revival is sweeping through the land. Are y'all seeing what's going on out at Asbury College? College students, young people, they just went on a 10 o'clock on a Wednesday morning for a chapel service, college chapel service, where they used to go in there and stay in just a little bit, and somebody read a scripture, and somebody pray, and they say, well, bless God, and they all go back. The revival broke out in that meeting, and they stayed in there for hours, and they stayed for 3 days before they even left. Pray it. Nobody was leading them. No preacher up front even telling them what to do. No worship team. They just started singing and worshiping God, and singing some new songs maybe. They might have been singing some songs nobody ever heard before. Praying, coming to the altar, repenting, wanting to get saved, wanting to get baptized. Then that spilled. Then some other kids started coming to check out what's going on. And then it broke out in Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee. And now spreading to other schools. And so far, it's been in mostly Christian colleges. But I tell you what, my wife and I have been praying at night. We're expecting UNC Chapel Hill, UNC North, UNC Charlotte, UNC Wilmington, Asheville, wherever else they got one, Duke, Wake Forest, NC State, Catawba College. Name all of them you want to, man. The revival is here. And it's happening in a lot of churches as well where it will be allowed to happen. Revival, I saw somebody post something the other day, said revival has always been messy. Real revival. You know, I'm not quite as far back as Azusa Street, but when that happened, man, the revival came. But there was a lot of things that the nice church didn't like about it. I mean, them people speaking in them unknown tongues. It can't be God. The church tried to stop the revival. And it's gone on all throughout the ages. When the charismatic renewal came, I came in as a part of that. I was a nice Lutheran boy over in the Lutheran church minding my own business. We had some laymen come one Sunday, one weekend, called a lay witness mission, and all they did, these laymen, was share their testimonies and tell what Jesus was doing in their life. None of them talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they all had it because they knew what kind of church they were in, and they were giving us what we could have. I was a good boy, and I had been faithful in church. I was one of the best church members they had, but I never had really let Jesus have all my life. But I went up to that altar that morning. And that's a church where we didn't usually go to the altar, except to get your baby baptized. You don't just go up there because you want to repent and get saved. And I went up to that altar. I got on my knees. Nobody prayed with me. I said, Father, whatever these folks got, I want it. And you know what? My life changed. And revival came. But you know what? I didn't stay in that church too long. I got to where I was feeling unwelcome there. They liked the old me that wasn't dedicated to the Lord a whole lot better than they liked the new me. So, church right now is entering into a great time of revival and awakening. And revival is a clash of those two government systems up there. What's on God's side and what's on the devil's side. Man, when revival comes, the battle is on. And when the light of Jesus hits the darkness of sin, the devil goes crazy with fear, and he doubles up on his stuff, including his lies and everything else. He doubles up the attack when he sees revival. And so what's our weapon against lies? Turn on the truth. Just turn on the truth. I'll just get to tell you about a couple of things we can turn on. There is so much being lied about now, and so much of the organized church agreeing with it. Because the church wants to be nice. God didn't tell us to be nice. He told us to be strong and bold and tell the truth. And don't believe a lie. If some young man, if you're a young lady and this some young man, even if he be wearing a dress, comes in your bathroom and says,
I'm a girl. And you're going to say, sir, I love you. I'm going to pray for your confusion. The Lord loves you. He don't want you having this confusion. But I got some news for you. You're not no girl. We know several ways that we can be that makes a difference. I was glad to see I walked into the, I stepped back there in the restroom a minute ago. I knew where it was, but the sign said men on the door. I walk in there. We got some plumbing there now you ladies don't have. You don't need it. All right. Some say, well, I'm transgender. I like them ones that are non-binary. That means I can be a girl today and a boy tomorrow and a frog the next day if I want to. Just because that's what I think I am. The answer to that is the truth in love. The truth in love. I tell you, most of them people, a lot of them have been mixed up by what society is, even what the school system is telling them. They got their brains all messed up. Don't hate them, because hate's on the other side. Love's on our side. All right? But we cannot buy into the lie. And I tell you, there might be a price to pay for that. You just try telling the truth about, in some places, that God made them male and female. He made them. That's the truth. Somebody says, how do you know that's the truth? Because the Bible says so. That's my reference of truth right there. And so, and then when you do that, especially if you're somebody well known, you know, and you watch the devil and his army go crazy. And then what some Christians are doing now, and what some people that ought to know better are doing, they get a little bit of attack, and then they back off, and they won't say that anymore, because they say, I'm afraid to tell the truth about this because they might call me bad names. They might call me homophobic. You know, when the devil makes up a lie, he's not even good at that. Phobia means fear. I'm not afraid of them folks. So I'm not no phobic. I just know the truth's the truth and the lie's a lie and a misconception. So you start getting in fear because I'm afraid they're going to say something ugly about me. What's the answer to fear? Faith. All right, I got to just get my Bible out again. Listen to God. Hear what God's saying to man. God's going to say, tell them the truth in love. Fear, faith can come, faith can leave. Faith can come, fear can leave. Excuse me. Now, I hadn't even told you the title of my message today, but during the past year, I've taught in one place in Word of Faith Worship Center, Sunday morning, Sunday night, I taught, it's time for the church to wake up. Part one, part two. The videos are up there on the screen on my website. What's the address for my website? JimHoward.org. Okay. I want you to go there because I could bring all them CDs and I could bring you all that stuff. And I said, go back there and buy that stuff. No, all you got to do is just put in a little link on and listen to it anytime you want to. If you got one of them smart TVs, just cast it up on your big 60-inch TV and watch that thing. But so I talked two messages on it's time for the church to wake up. Then I went down to a church in Matthews, North Carolina. He had me down there for 2 weeks. And so I taught time for the church to stand up, part one, part two. Part two, the second week. He wanted me to come back a third week. So the Lord gave me that time. Time for the church to speak up. So we done had time for the church to wake up, time for the church to stand up, time for the church to speak up. I said, Lord, what are we going to do about today? He said, it's time for the church to suit up. And we're talking about for battle. We're talking about the church to suit up. Get ready for the battle. Now, we go into the scripture. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we're going to start in chapter 30, verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. And I'm in King James. I printed it out on my notes in the English Standard, but I decided I'd rather read it. Something about this is good when you read scripture off of one of these things. You know, and I do it sometimes because I can make the font just as big as I want to. But there is something special about having a floppy Bible in your hand when you're preaching the Word of God, you know it, and I like to read out of it. So in Deuteronomy 13:19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. He said, write it down. I'm having to write this down in heaven that I gave you this instruction today. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. He gave us a choice. Life, death, blessing and cursing. Now, if you will, put that chart back up again. Now, this don't mean, like some people think, they say, that's easy. I choose life. I choose blessing. And then they live over here on the devil's side. No, it's not just saying I choose life and I choose blessing. We choose life and we choose blessing by every choice we make all day long, every day. And when you start choosing lying, you're not choosing life no more. When you start choosing fear, even, you're not choosing life anymore, because fear brings death to you. And so the choice we have is about living in God's system or living in the devil's system. That's how we choose life and choose blessing, is by choosing who we serve. So then, and notice it says that you and your seed or your offspring may live. Those choices we make affect not just us, but they affect our children and our children's children and our children's children on down the line. Now, you'll have some go astray once in a while, but you know, I read in my Bible, if you train up a child in the way they go, when they're old, it didn't say when they're teenagers. When they're old, they won't depart from it. You get it in them, the Lord will have something to pull back up when it's time, when they'll listen to it. Amen? My daddy, both sides of my family, on my mother's side and my father's side, I'm not aware of any of my grandparents ever going to church. Now, I did have a grandmother, my maternal grandmother. She was a believer, the preacher, but they lived out there on Charlie Walker Road, and the church, Bethpage Presbyterian Church, was probably 5 or 6 miles away. And the other thing about my grandparents, neither one of them ever owned a car. Now, we're talking about back there, you know, when I knew them, I was born in 1937. In them years, they never owned a car. So my grandmother, the preacher, would come see her every week, and she had a little place up there where she put the envelope with her tithes in it. And her tithes was off of $11. No, wait a minute. She was getting some Social Security after my granddaddy died, and she was living in a house, and it's the one I started out early life into, little old four-room rented house with four rooms and a path. Y'all know about that, don't you? I didn't say four rooms and a bath. Four rooms and a path to the outhouse out there. And she was paying $11 a month rent for that house out of her little old bit of Social Security, but she always had that money for the preacher. But they didn't go to church. That's what I'm going to tell you. And on my daddy's side of the family, they didn't go to church, and I don't know nothing about them paying any tithes either. And my daddy had an alcohol problem for years. I know where part of it came from. When daddy was, when he grew up, he was the only boy with five sisters. And they were sharecropping on a cotton farm. And in Iredell County. He had a brother that was born and died at 12 with pneumonia, and another brother that was stillborn, but he was the only boy. So grandma made daddy quit school in the fourth grade because they needed him to work. They needed him picking cotton, not going to school. But my daddy educated himself. He read and he educated himself. And so, but I think all that background and all led some way into the alcohol problem. But So he was a full-blown alcoholic until he was 45. And we lived in rental houses and moved. We used to say we'd move when the rent came due, but it wasn't quite that often. But Daddy had some pretty good jobs because nobody knew he only had 4 years of education because he learned to read and he read and educated himself as much as he could and had some pretty good jobs. But then that alcohol was a problem. He set fire to two houses we lived in and burned them down just out of meanness, I think. But then when he was 45 years old, things got bad enough that he decided he needed some help. And there was a pastor up in North Kannapolis that had tried to come minister to him and talk to him. And so that's the man he went looking for when he knew he needed some help. And this pastor lined him up and he sent him up to Lenore, North Carolina, to a Bethel College near Mercy. And they had a message over there. They had church three times a day, but they made the men work on the had a farm and they had to work and just keep their own keep and stay for several months. Agreed to stay for several months. And that man up there that led that place who had written a book, and he said alcoholism is not a sickness; it's a sin. He said drunks love to call themselves say it's a sickness because they like people to feel sorry for them. He said, alcoholism, not sickness, it's a sin. He said, if it's a sickness, it's the craziest sickness you ever heard of. It's the only sickness in the world that if you'll quit taking the medicine, you'll get well. He said, it's the only sickness. He said, if it's a sin, every one of these restaurants that's got a bar in them, the health department would close them down because they got something in there causing sickness. Well, my daddy, and they told him the answer to your problem is Jesus. And my daddy turned his life 100% over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, he never took another drink of alcohol. And all he wanted to do was tell people about Jesus. Anybody he talked to, he could find a way to talk about Jesus. I never really heard him do this, but I used to say I believe he would have. If anybody come up and said, you know what time it is, he'd say, no man knows the day or the hour. But and then he got involved with the Gideons. But originally like that, he could go to these churches and share his testimony and then talk about the Bible. And so my daddy got delivered and saved at 45 years old, and he died 10 years later at 55 as a result of some of what that alcohol had done to his body. And he had learned totally about Jesus being the Savior, but he really hadn't learned about him being healer. But he went to heaven, and when my daddy died after being a bad alcoholic, when he died, he was the chaplain for the Gideons for the state of North Carolina. Totally changed life. I saw that when I was 19 years old. My daddy made a choice. And the choice was, I'm going to quit living for the devil, and I'm going to go over here and live for Jesus. And you know, when you decide to do that, well, you leave all that bad stuff happening in your life, other than what the devil's trying to bring over to you, you got to run it off. And you're reaping the benefits of what's over on God's side. He made a choice. But it didn't just affect him. It affected me. Affected my brother. I have got three children that it affected. I've got eight grown grandchildren that it affected. I got 18 great-grandchildren it affected. And believe it or not, young man like me, I got one great-great. Now, the great-great hadn't had time to make it up yet. Them great-grandchildren I got, they range in age from 7 to about 22. Great-grandchildren. They're not all exactly where we want them to be, but as far as I know, all them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 generations, counting starting my daddy going down, are believers and serving God. And that's because my daddy made a decision. Some of you are thinking, well, I wish my daddy had made a decision, but I wish my granddaddy. Well, it ain't too late. You make the decision. Starts with you. On down. So we have to make a choice about it. So now let me look at my watch. I just like to know a little bit. I don't, you know, I want your pastor to look good, and I don't want to make him look real good and me look bad. This thing about we read in Deuteronomy 13. I want you to back up to chapter 28 where you heard earlier today read from. Because when Moses is writing this, when he starts talking about the blessing and the curse, he started at chapter 28 and he goes chapter 28, 29, and 30. Telling them, here's how the curse, blessing is. Here's how the curse is. And we get it to chapter 30, verse 19. He said, now you make the choice which one you want. And so in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 and verse 2, and it says, you've already heard it, and it shall come to pass if. Everybody say if. What does that mean? That means the conditions. That means it's not just going to automatically by magic come to pass. It's going to be come to pass if you'll hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. That's God speaking to you. But he speaks to you out of this word too. By the way, I believe God talks to me a lot of times, just, you know, riding down the road and whatever. But I find out he talks to me mostly when I got this book open. And even the things he's already said will speak to me and become rhema to me a lot of times because it's, yeah, that's the one I'm looking for. That, yeah, Lord, that's where I was supposed to be today. It shall come to pass if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God and observe to, and look here, and observe to do. Not only hear it, but what? Do it. Do what it said. Now, I said 2023, the Lord said this to me. I just got it real clear when he said it. I was driving. 2023 is a year of activity. It's a year to do, not just to be. Look at somebody and say, we have to do. We have to do. To observe and to do all. Oh, wait a minute. That's got to be a mistake. A few of his commandments. Oh, that says all. Okay. I love preaching where to keep me straight. All his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all, we got to do it all, and we're going to receive it all. And all of these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then it goes on, I'm not going to read them all, but you know what it says. It starts naming them blessings. Man, we blessed in the city. We blessed in the field. We blessed in the storehouse. We blessed in the basket. We blessed going out and coming in. And I had a friend that had a dump truck. He's gone on to heaven now, a couple of dump trucks. And he's a believer. He's living by the word of God. But he came to me, he said, Pastor, I got a man wanting to hire me to haul some stuff away off of his, a bunch of dirt off of his property. He said, I got a phone call the same day about a man wanting some dirt. He says, it is okay if I charge both of them. I said, is the both of them going to get what they want? He said, yeah. I said, that's blessed going out and coming in. Okay? Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
That's Lord's blessing. This man was a giver, by the way. And he goes on and says, Everything you set your hand to is supposed to prosper.
Amen.
If we're living on the right side of this chart up here. So there we got those good verses there. And there's a choice to be made about all that. When I was at Faith Covenant, I was there for 20 years. I was the associate pastor for 18 years. I was a good, faithful associate pastor. But my pastor let me minister. I didn't just have a title. I preached. I taught the adult Sunday school class on some when I was the associate pastor. I taught the adult Sunday school class, and we got it where we had about 100 in Sunday school. And then I would preach every Wednesday night or every Sunday night. Teach the Word of God. So I do it usually for a period of time. I taught on Sunday for a long time. Then I teach on Wednesday. So we had folks coming to church, adults that were coming to church together, but I knew they weren't married. I didn't make any judgments about that. I wanted them to be there whatever their situation was. I didn't go ask them questions. And I didn't assume what they might be doing because, listen, I came to church with a young lady from the time she was 15. She was 15 and I was 19 when we started. And we didn't get married until she was 18 because her daddy said we couldn't get married until she was 18 and graduated. We came to church together. But I tell you one thing, we wasn't doing no going to bed together. And then you say, well, yeah, that's okay with them teenagers. We might believe that, especially in them days. And then when I was at Faith Covenant, I have adult people coming to church together. Wasn't married. I never went up and asked them about, but I preached the truth of the Word of God. I didn't preach about no relationship. I said, don't be using no relationship word about. A relationship means you're related. Now, there's two ways you can be related. That's either your sister, your cousin, or your wife. Outside of that, this ain't no relationship. This has got another name called shacking up. Just preach the truth in love. They knew I loved them. So, but I had this one couple, just precious as they could be, man. They're good people. And they said, we need to have an appointment with you to come get some counseling. But I thought they wanted to come get some counseling about getting married. And so, yeah, come on, that'd be fine. So when they came in there, they started telling me what they needed counseling about. They needed some counseling because it seemed like their money, they was having health problems all the time. Their money was, they both had a good job and working, but their money wouldn't last, and it was just disappearing on them. And so they needed me to, and they wanted me to pray. I said, well, listen, I'm not prying in your business, but I got to know how to pray. Are y'all living together? They say, yes, we are. I said, well, you know what? Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. The consequences of that. Now I'm on, I had something down here. Oh yeah, don't even put this up or I'm just going to give them a few words out of it. But I took them to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. I said, let's see what the Bible says about what you're doing. And it talks about Solomon, I guess, writing to his sons. It talks about your situation with what he called the forbidden woman. King James says the strange woman, a forbidden woman. But it, no matter which translation you read, it's the one you're not married to. And here's what the advice was about that woman, maybe that you've been involved with, that's the forbidden woman, the one you're not married to. He said, now, sons, listen to me and don't depart from the words of my mouth. Keep far from her. King James says, don't even go close to her door. Well, it says this in the one I got here too. And do not go near the door of her house. And here's what will happen if you do. You're going to give your honor to others. You're going to give your years to the merciless. Strangers are going to be taking away your stuff. Your laborers are going to go to the house of a foreigner. You're going to be working for somebody else and they're going to be getting all the money. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and your body are consumed. And what it says, the result, if you don't get away from this woman, this forbidden woman that you're involved with, and the same is true about her and the forbidden man, by the way, here's what the Bible says the results are. You're going to lose your honor. You're going to lose your money. You're going to be broke all the time. You're going to have health problems, and you're going to die too young. Which side of the chart's that on? That's all on the devil's side. Ain't none of that on God's side. And then it says, and you're going to say to yourself, I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof, and I did not listen to the voice of my teachers and incline my ear to their instruction. That's what you're going to say at the end when it's all over. So I told that couple about that, and I said, listen, we can't pray that out of the Bible. That's in the Bible. I can't pray no prayer that takes that out of the Bible. What's wrong is you're reaping what you're sowing, and you're both precious people, and I love you. But I got to tell you, you're reaping what you're sowing. And so the only way that you're going to change this is somebody's got to move out of that house. Well, I found out that it was her house, like is so often the case. And that man was somebody she met in a Christian bookstore. And I like to tell folks, I don't know, I said he probably had on a t-shirt that said, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But in the original Greek, what it said was, "I'm looking for me a Christian woman that I can live off of." So she made a choice, and she told Forbidden Man, it was her house. She said, "Oh, they told me we can't live on one income and pay our bills." I said, "You just told me you're not paying them now." I said, "So you've got to make a choice. Do you believe you've got a better chance of making it like you're doing it? Or you got a better chance if you trust God that He will provide?" Amen. All right, she made the choice. She made, "I call heaven and earth. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Choose." She made a choice, told him to move out. About 3 weeks later, I'm coming out the door to church. She's out there. Hugged me. She said, "Pastor, I got a second job that's part-time, and I'm making more on it than I was making on my full job, but I'm working both of them right now as long as I have to." A couple of weeks later, gave me a hug again. "Pastor, somebody gave me a car this week." Now listen, your payoff might not always be that fast, but there is always a payoff. When you make a choice and decide to do it God's way, there's always a payoff. Now, I got to get us to getting suited up. Because, I'm going to talk about the whole armor of God, but we're not going to dig into it real deep because pretty soon I'm coming back, I think I heard. You told me that. All right. Well, it starts out in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, and verse 10. And it says, finally, and I'm going to try my best not to go too long on this. Chapter 6, verse. Oh man, I lost my string. I had my string in there, and I lost it. It's back here somewhere. Oh, here it is. Ephesians chapter 6 starts at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, we miss some of the big words when we read the Bible. Finally, when is finally? Is that at the beginning? No, that's after you've done all. That's after you've done all this other stuff. Here, what we're gonna do? So you go back and start reading the beginning of Ephesians to see what comes before. We don't just start putting armor on. We got to do some stuff to get ready for the armor. And we go back and it talks about you got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You got to walk in love with everybody. It even says, don't put chapter 5 up there. I just got to turn one page. It says, be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And it says, in verse 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it be not once named among you, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. You say, you mean that's in the New Testament? I thought grace covered all that. Grace will cover it if you repent. And repent means not just saying, "Lord, we'll take one of these." Fornication. That's just not going to Him and saying, "Lord, I got involved in fornication yesterday, and I repent." And He planned on doing it tomorrow too. No, that means that word is confess your faults before God, sins, and He'll forgive you. That word means confess, I'm a sinner. It don't just mean say what I did last night. Lord, I've got this problem with sex sin, and I need forgiveness, but You've got to cleanse me. And He promised He would. I'll cleanse you and take away all unrighteousness. Okay? Now, so we go to finally. Finally is after you got this other stuff straightened out. It even talks about your relationship with your husband and your wife. Talks about your relationship with your children, relationship with the boss or the people that work for you. And all of us got to be walking in love. But finally, now you've done all that, you're ready to put the armor on. And I'm going to tell you something. I like to let folks know about this. That armor is made out of metal. And it's scratchy. And you need on a good suit of underwear before you put that armor on. And there ain't but one brand that'll work. And that's called, y'all help me with it, you know your underwear brands. That's called Fruit of the, well no, in this case it's Fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. You put on your love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, tenderness. Now you're ready to put some armor on. And so we get over here, and it talks about getting this armor on. And I'm going to go on down to about verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. First thing I do is put on truth. And now, which side of the thing was that on? Was that on God's side? Wasn't on the devil's side, was it? That's on the God's side. That's on that choice over there. Put on the truth. It tells us, and put on having the breastplate of righteousness. Which side was righteousness on? Do you see that these armor pieces are that same stuff we was talking about that we defeat the devil with? You be in righteousness. Now, there's two parts of righteousness. One is the God part that God imparts to us when we get saved. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But then if I am righteous, I will live righteous. That means living right. So there's two sides to righteousness. What part God gives you and the part you respond to because of what He gave you. He gave you health. You know what? You ought to act like you ought to act healthy. Yeah. And in fact, if you're not feeling that way, you ought to act that way anyway. We believe in calling things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. I love His church. And put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah. You ready to go preach that good news. Yeah. And above all, take the shield of faith. There's again. Above all means over every situation and every circumstance of your life, take faith. Lord, there's a bicycle out here. What am I going to do about it? Lord said, I'm about to get you in faith about bicycles. I'm glad I heard you say that. And Pastor preached pretty good that day too, but I really hooked on what you said about that bicycle. Take the shield of faith over everything. And you're going to quench the fiery darts of the wicked with that, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always and so forth. I'm going to quit right there for now. So we that is when we're suiting up is because we got that battle to fight of that chart we were looking at. Put that chart back up there again. I think I see it on the back wall too. Yeah, I can't read it from here, but I can see it back there. But at any rate, you see, the armor is attacking those things right there. And so so a lot of people get up in the morning, they say, learn to do this. Well, I'm putting on the belt of truth. And then they go out and lie all day. No, I'm putting on the belt of truth. I'm putting on the breastplate. They say, I do this every morning. Do you do this every morning, Pastor? No, I don't do that every morning. You don't? No, I sleep in mine. I found out the devil had come around in the nighttime too. But this is not just talking about reciting some little old scripture about I'm putting it. That's important to know it. This is talking about putting on the nature and character of God. Walking through your day with truth, holding your britches up. Without truth, you're going to embarrass yourself. No belt. So you see, that's how we prepare for the battle, is to make the choice about I'm going to live my life and do things God's way. And I'm going to give you one more piece of this that you have to have. As many times, through the years, I have talked time and time again about the whole armor of God. I've got series of message tapes and CDs, and might even have something on my website. I can't remember if I got that or not. And the Lord called my attention. He told me to go look something up. He does that a lot. And so I read this, and I saw where it says, what verse was it? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Lord said, look at it. I looked it up in the Greek. I saw a word. I saw the word that meant. And that word is en dunamo. Now, that second half of that word E-N-N means to take it in myself. The dunamo, have y'all heard the word dunamis? What does that mean? Are we talking about supernatural power of God? That's what that strong is. It ain't just talking about Bill Muscle. That is talking about the supernatural power of God in your life, the dunamis. And Jesus said, and you shall receive power, dunamis, after something. After the Holy Ghost has come. you're going to receive this power we need to fight this battle with this armor we got on, but we're going to need the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost working in our life to expect to be a winner. You can take a weakling and put them in a good suit of armor, and they're going to lose the fight. You got to have muscle inside that thing. You got to have Holy Ghost power. Well, so we found out in the beginning here we need the Holy Ghost to get on this armor and fight this battle. Well, let's just go down to the other end of this thing, and it says down there in verse 18, if you they know this scripture anyway. It says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we know every bit of that is defensive stuff until I pick up the sword, which is the Word. That's my offensive weapon. That's what we really win the battle with, is the offensive weapon. Speaking the Word, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's next? In the Spirit. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Us folks that come from where we come from, I know that you can pray in the Spirit and pray it in the English language. But I know a lot of times there's stuff we need to pray out that English won't do it. And with some of these battles we're fighting, sometimes we have to get into that place, and we got to get that language that the Holy Ghost gave us. And so part of getting suited up is you absolutely need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's people watching this on that camera I'm seeing back there. They're watching this at home. By the way, we got extra seats here. If you way off somewhere, we're glad you're watching. If you're sick and you too old to come, that means you definitely older than 86, because I'm here. If you've got serious health issues, we understand you're staying at home. But if you're staying at home because of fear, you need to be in one, and you're local, you need to be in one of these seats. If you stay at home because you have just learned from back when COVID started, you learned how wonderful it is to go to church in your recliner, in your underwear, eating a snack, you need to get dressed and come here. Run the fear off. Run. I didn't put laziness up here on this board, but it's on the devil's side. Listen, we love you. Keep watching. Keep watching. But get over here in the building if you can. And there's something about Christian fellowship that you cannot get. Fellowship is a big part, and you can't get it. I've watched your services off and on the last 2 weeks. Something had me not in my church, and so I watched them live. Sometimes I pull them up, and I know there's some good word goes forth, and good worship and good prayer goes forth here every week. And if you're in the middle of it, it's so much better. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a big part of that. If you don't understand that, if you're in this room or those watching, you contact Pastor Brown, contact this church, and they help you with that. You need it. I'll just tell you that. All right. Pastor, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you can do what you want to about whatever. Thank y'all for having me today.
We appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. And also, we're always happy to hear from you. Let us know that folks are out there listening and being helped by the ministry. So until next time, this is Jim Howard reminding you that Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you."